Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It started in the 1850s and culminated in 1908 with a bloodbath in the streets of Kansas City. This month, Diane Houston and I explore the Adam God cult that stormed Kansas City streets.
You know, one of the things that we've kind of had on this journey, Diane, through history here in Kansas City is the ability to find out things that, like, nobody even thought of before, nobody even knew about. I think my vision when we started this podcast project was one of which we talked about, I don't know, like, things everybody kind of knew about, but dove in a little bit deeper. I had no idea Adam and Eve were in Kansas City at one point parading around naked shooting people.
Maybe perhaps thinking that Kansas City was the Garden of Eden too.
Maybe.
We don't know.
That's
we don't
right.
know. You know, this is a perfect example of stuff that I think Kansas City was hoping would be buried. And unfortunately, people like me dig it up. And
yeah.
And sorry, not sorry, because it's fascinating. A cult in Kansas City, a shootout in Kansas City involving a cult. Like, we got to know more about this.
Well, we do. And it starts with, like, a guy named James and his wife named, what is it, Melissa? James and Melissa Sharp,
yeah.
Right? Those two convinced people that they were Adam and Eve and started maybe, like, one of the first type of religious cults, not only obviously here in Kansas City, but maybe in the United States. And they went around town basically telling people, and not around town, the country, telling people that, like, they were Adam and Eve. And people started following them and sending them money. Like, this was crazy.
It's crazy. And you're right. There were other cults. I'm sure cults have been around for a long time and, you know, arguably for sure. But the fact that this was one of those incidents in Kansas City, the people that do know about it, which are not very many until I wrote about it, but the people that do know about it didn't really know how deep this was. It's not like they woke up one morning and said, hey, let's start a cult in Kansas City. This was way before Kansas City was even in the picture. And that's why, you know, I wanted to make sure, I always say this, I always start at the beginning and end at the end. And the end isn't even in Kansas City at the shootout. So I think, yeah, it's worth exploring how James Sharp, who was born in Missouri in 1857, and his wife, Melissa, I just feel like he called her Melissy. You know what I mean? Like, before she had to have been Melissy. Like,
I was thinking just Mel, but what do I know, right?
Well, you know, like Melissy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, get me a beer.
Like Missouri. Yeah. Hey, Melissa.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so.
But they were like a big age difference, too. It's like he was 13.
Oh, my God.
Or he was like 30 and she was like 13 or 16 or something. This guy was like robbing the cradle right from the get-go.
For real. Yeah. And her family did not approve. Yeah. I mean, he's born in Missouri and then he ends up, you know, he loses both of his parents when he's really young, which I'm mm-hmm. sure messed him up.
Sure.
Then he supposedly like ran the riverboat scene and was like making a living at 13 gambling. And I actually wouldn't put it past this guy. And then he ends up meeting Melissy in Missouri. She's born in 1871. So she's 16, he's 30. And they run off to Arkansas, of course.
Of course, right? I mean, where else would you go if you're a 30-year-old marrying a 16-year-old? I mean, Arkansas screams, come to me.
Seriously, like, make the rounds. Don't we're gonna be in Oklahoma in a minute too, don't worry.
Oh yes Oklahoma's not out of the woods on this one, okay?
Yeah. Actually, most states aren't. That's yeah. And countries
and countries too. Yeah, yeah, this was an international incident.
This is an international story. So anyway, they get married and end up, big surprise, they don't stay anywhere very long, so they're just kind of like nomads running through the countryside. But where the story, they end up having two kids. I, at first I was like, there's no way these people had kids. And I'm like, of course they did.
Of course they did. You got to keep this going. Who do you think is going to continue this ruse if you don't have offspring?
Especially if you're Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be here. Anyway, so they have two kids. One of them's name is Thomas, and he's still kind of a mystery, but he was born first. And then their son Lee is born in 1894. So they're, you know, I mean, they get married and have their little kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So by 1903, they're living in Oklahoma. So they've homesteaded.
Right. So, I was saying they got the ability to kind of spread their word of the gospel all around. And they start at Missouri, they go to Arkansas, they go to Oklahoma.
The best thing is they're not even like religious yet.
Not yet, they're not, but they will get there.
We'll get there. So anyway, he in 1903, they're living in a dugout house, of course. And they, you know, Melissa's standing at the doorway of the dugout house and you know, James out in the field, and all of a sudden a meteor comes and just bam, just explodes on the farm. And totally, I mean, that would freak anybody out. It's actually true. This did happen though, just for the record, this part isn't divine intervention. So this makes the newspaper headlines that, you know, this happened, and it really shakes up James Sharp and turns him to the Lord. And so it said he screamed at the skies to be forgiven and fell flat on the ground praying. And so he prayed and cried for 2 weeks with two children and a wife at home, and then told his wife that the Holy Spirit came to him and told him it was time for him to start preaching. Mm-hmm. And so they shook on it. And then they sold their whole farm, picked up their kids, and started preaching on the road. So, I mean, like, that happened. Like, why don't you just sell the meteor pieces for some profits? I don't understand. But anyway, they end up roaming around the countryside. And by a couple years go by, so we don't know where they are. I just looked for arrests. That's what I was looking for at this point. But anyway, this religion that they had, you know, he started as a preacher, saying he was a preacher. He started to say he was the reincarnated Adam. And of course, Melissa was Eve.
Well, I mean, obviously, Diane, I don't know what you're thinking about here. If he's going to be reincarnated as Adam, of course she's going to be Eve, right?
I know. And don't worry, they're going to find God too in a minute. So they're traveling around in an old wagon that they, just in case you missed it, it said gospel wagon on the side of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This was a lot to research. And so they end up meeting a 20-year-old Scottish immigrant whose, you know, name is John Aitken. And he starts, apparently he kind of takes over the cult. They're still in Oklahoma, but he kind of takes over the cult. And we don't know how many people are following him at this point, but they had to have some type of following at this. I hate to say it, but they did. And so he starts saying he's God Almighty. I'm like, oh, just took the rank of James Sharp out of the way. So they end up in Oklahoma City, and on April 18th, 1905, they're going to go preach on the streets, which was normal. That's how they did things. That's how they recruited.
Right.
But they did it naked.
Well, I mean, how else would you do it?
Totally naked.
Right.
Naked preaching. With their children, mind you.
Oh,
naked
boy.
As well. Of course. So that, of course, doesn't just land them headlines. That lands them in jail. And then they're hauled off to the insane asylum. And then I know for sure from later descriptions that their son Lee was actually sent away to a reform school. So they took their kids away from him.
Well, they should have.
Well, I mean, 100%. But
I mean, you just can't go walk on the streets of Oklahoma City naked and expect nothing to happen to you with your children.
All born naked, Adam and Eve, fig leaf. That's what they thought. So in any case, they were shouting hallelujahs in Broadway in Oklahoma City. So anyway, Aitken says he tells everybody that in 7,000 people are going to be killed in the city within days. That got him landed in the insane asylum for like a year. So in any case, Melissa and James can apparently do well enough that within a month, they're out on the run. And they kept in contact with Aitken because he, you know, even though he was in the insane asylum, he found, I know you're going to be surprised and everyone listening, Aitken found that when he was in the insane asylum, it was a really good place to recruit people for their cults.
I mean, where else would you recruit people for? Hey, do you want to run the streets naked and preach the gospel of the Lord? Yeah, where else are you going to find people that are willing to run around a city naked and do this?
It's a perfect fit. So it even said that Aiken stayed an extra couple months because the pickings were fruitful up there. So anyway, I mean, that's supposedly what happened. So then they end up, by 1906, they're in Fort Smith, Arkansas, living in a shack. And, you know, with them is a guy named Jack Pratt, and he's from Oklahoma. And there's no real mention again of the kids. So at this point, I'm not sure if they have their son Lee back, but I don't know where Thomas is at all, that oldest kid. So they called him, they told the newspapers, because newspapers kind of end up following this in different cities because it's so unreal, you know, I mean, it's so odd, they're covering it. So they told one of the newspapers that their son Lee was the youngest preacher in the world. He was 11. Mm. Mind you, he couldn't read or write. They didn't believe in that. So anyway, so they move again. And after Aiken was, you know, released from the insane asylum, they started calling themselves Adamites. So this is where obviously Adam and Eve, Adamites. So they end up on the farm of a guy named William Comer, poor little widow. He's a widow with some, you know, kids that are older and then a daughter who's 16. And she starts getting really concerned because this farm is worth quite a bit of money. And there's 45 cult members now, 45, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And included in this new group is this guy, Jack Pratt, has converted his brother, Lewis Pratt, who becomes very important, along with his wife, Della, and their five children under 11, right, to be part of the Adam and Eve cult, if you will. They all are just camping on this William Comer's farm. And this 16-year-old daughter of William Comer's like, this ain't good. Like, this doesn't look good. And so she writes to her sister and is like, hey, sis, we got a problem here. Dad has just signed his entire farm over to Adam God, AKA James Pratt, $7,000. And they have kids tied to a tree. What? So the older sister calls gets the police involved, and they go out there, and one of the kids, which is one of the kids that becomes, you know, an issue later, who's 2 years old, is tied to a tree covered in mosquitoes because Melissa, AKA Eve, said she wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. Great. So they were arrested for unbecoming conduct and disturbing the peace because they didn't like to wear clothes there either.
Right.
Okay.
And they also didn't like to work either. Like, they thought like working and keeping up the house and keeping up the farm was against God as well, weren't they?
Yeah, totally. So William Comer's farm, that was the other problem, is that the daughter was saying, like, you know, he made his money off of farming, was that the entire landscape at that point, there was no planting of crops. They were just living on the, you know, the overgrown fields.
Right.
And that was part of what Adam God believed, AKA James Sharp, is that we don't work. No. And if you want to be a part of our cult, now, of course, I didn't say cult, but if you want to be part of our cult, don't you worry about it. You just sign over everything you own and we'll live off of that.
Right. Where everybody came and pooled all their resources and money, yeah, and it went into a big pot. And that's how they got, you know, say they needed, you know, whatever from the store, they just took out of the kitty and they went and did that. But it was almost, you know, I want to say almost cultish, but it is obviously a cult, but they weren't allowing the folks in this cult to get educated because public school is the devil and things like that. So they knew exactly what they were doing. Everything to keep these people down and involved in this cult, giving them their money, and everybody was living off each other and not allowing them to get educated, meant they weren't going to grow and learn that, wait a second, this is probably not something we should be involved in.
Oh, 100%. And this is what's interesting, is at this point in the history of this cult, because they do not believe in educating the kids, all the kids needed was to be read from the Bible.
Right. The Bible, they were going to learn everything from the Bible.
Everything you need is in the Bible. So they did split, and I'm not sure why, but at the exact same time, two separate things happened in two separate cities. So I think that Adam God had run out of resources in Oklahoma. It was time to move on. because they end up in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
And then the other, the Pratts, which is going to be Della and Lewis Pratt and their five children, end up in Kansas City, which is really odd. And this is October of 1906. So that whole incident only happened months before. And so in October of 1906, Lewis Pratt takes his kids. They go up to Kansas City. They're living basically at a place that's set up for homeless people. But the deal is, if you're going to live here, you have to work at our lumber yard and we'll pay for it. He refuses to work.
Right.
Well, I mean, at this point, he's not used to working. He claimed God would support them. And my favorite is he could get more money from people on the streets than working.
Mm-hmm.
Great. When they threatened to actually kick him out of the house, the place they were living, he finally went to work at this lumber yard. But the kids and his wife, Della, were singing on the street corner, earning their dollar too.
Right.
So they were singing religious songs and all of this. Well, they end up in court because you can't, even back in 1907, because in February 1907, they end up in court. Even in 1907, you couldn't not have your kids in school. It was against the law. So you're in the middle of the day in downtown Kansas City with your, you know, two-year-old in your arms and your seven-year-old singing and begging for money, you're going to get some attention. And so a judge orders you have to send your kids to school. And Lewis is like, Bible's enough. And he says, the public school is wicked and the devil is its teacher. I'm like, what?
Because the minute somebody would go to school, though, Diane, you know, they would learn about this is not the right thing to do. People would start to formulate their own opinions on things and, you know, be able to come to a conclusion that the lifestyle that we're living here right now is probably not the normal lifestyle that's going on in the United States of America, even in the early 1900s at this time.
I know. And you know, these kids are not like dressed in their Sunday best.
No.
They're looking ragged. So he says, fine, I'll send my kids to court or send my kids to school. He tells the judge when he's got his final warning, and then they disappeared. You know, I'm like, Kansas City didn't know what happened to him for a year, but I do. They ended up back in Denver with this group. So that's where Adam, God, and Eve, Melissa are. There's a great picture of them in the newspaper. This got national attention at this point because a national journalist basically published this large story about the Adamites. And this is prior to when they really hit the headlines nationwide. So it was so big that this journalist shows up at their house in Denver, Colorado. It's right on the Platte River. I'm sure it was a nice setup. And they said, oh, Garden of Eden's now in Colorado. It's not in Oklahoma anymore. And their son now is with them. 12-year-old Lee is there. And Melissa tells the reporter that their son is, Lee, is said to be Abel reincarnated. And of course, if anybody knows anything about just basic Bible, then the reporter's like, so where's Cain?
Where's Cain? There must be a Cain, right?
There's got to be a Cain. And Melissa was like, oh, he's done dreadful things and now is working in Kansas City as a grocer. So that's how I know that her older son, who did terrible things, which is probably like, my family's crazy, I'm out of here at 12 years old or whatever, ended up in Kansas City, and he really does disappear. So he might've been even smart enough to change his name. I'm not sure. But so anyway, the kids are not educated. They can't read, they can't write. And there's a slew of them, like all in this compound. And this is great. They said, we shall not have money or clothes or house or any property. We shall sleep in the fields under tents, and every man will take what he needs from his neighbor. Adam will cleanse men of their sins and lead them back to the Garden of Eden, where we will live forever. And then he said that the people of Denver were wicked and that he was going to move a mountain to squash them all and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this didn't, at this point, you feel like somebody would be like, wait, we need to keep a closer eye on these people. But they didn't. And so all of a sudden, they probably overstayed their welcome. They end up going to British Columbia. And you're like, why British Columbia? Like, what's up there? And it was where the Dewcobbers were.
I don't know who are the Dewcobbers. I was trying to figure that out when I was, you know, reading your article on this. Like, what is a Dewcobber? I mean, that just sounds like something made up.
I know it does. Like, I'm going to be a Dewcobber for Halloween. Okay, what's that? British Columbia. So what they are is they're a group of Russians who were rejecting organized governments, and also they were practicing passive, I can never say this right, pacifism. And they decided that they, you know, weren't welcome anymore in Russia. And so they all immigrated in 1899, 8,000 of them immigrated to Saskatchewan.
Wow.
And they were going to set up, that's an organization.
No, you know, kidding. That's a lot of people.
That makes Adamites look real tiny.
Well, 45 to 8,000 is a big, you know, difference.
Oh, I should have mentioned they're down to about a dozen members.
Oh, we're down. We lost some people along the way. Oh, that's a shame. I thought for sure everybody would be in. It would be growing and growing and growing.
No, I'm surprised Denver today isn't just a bunch of Adamites. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really surprised this didn't take off in Denver. So it seems like this guy just continually moves like south and west because like everybody else is like, yeah, get out of here, nutty. Get out of here, crazy man. Get out of here, crazy person.
Yeah, I think it was just, it was to the point. And they're also starting to act more erratic, which tells you that, I mean, there obviously is some mental issues here. Because this establishment, the Dukhovers, were establishing a community, if you will, of about, so 8,000 left and 6,000 at this point in 1908 are trying to establish, they have a leader, you know, establish this area, they bought land, and they're going to be, you know, living in sunshine or whatever. And James Sharp's like, they need me as their leader. So he and his 12 followers go up to British Columbia. That's not good. You know, he can't afford a train ride.
So sure.
Like walking. And they get up there. And this is the scariest part, is that at this point, they're all armed. So now he's got guns with him. Well, that doesn't really work for this type of religious sect who's not really cool with the whole violence thing. Mm-hmm. But he thinks that he's going to be just fine. And so he actually runs into the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and makes headlines there too, which tells you how bizarre this all is. They're barely there and they make headlines because, you know, people are probably like, hey, police, there's just a bunch of kids walking around with
guns. Rifles. Yeah,
do something about this. So anyway, they go up, they try to tell the Dukhovers that they're the saviors and Adam and Eve, and we've got this, it looks great. You should believe us. And they're like, we're cool. And so they ended up going south back in the United States. So in August of 1908, they go through Montana and they actually pick up a 19-year-old named Willie Egnall, who is from Swedish parents, and he suffers from epilepsy. And of course, what's he first do? Turns over his two guns that he owns and the spare change in his pocket and starts following them. He said, I gave them two revolvers and everything else I had because he was Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he was told to.
That's what you do.
Right.
So I love this. They pick up a houseboat. So now it's like, I guess it is faster probably to float than to walk or whatever.
Sure it is. Yeah. Float down the river.
But you think it's over 12 people on a houseboat, and you know, it'd be like a houseboat at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Right, like, right, right.
This is not high tech. So anyway, they end up floating down the Missouri River, unfortunately into our direction. And they tie up in November 1908. They arrive in Kansas City and they're ready to go. On the way, they're practicing target shooting. They have the kids practicing how to use their guns. And the reason they said that they were doing that is because they said, we knew our enemies were coming.
Well, you can see how the cult got started here in Kansas City. Coming up next month, we'll describe that day and go in detail with that fateful day, December 8th, 1908, a bloodbath in the streets of Kansas City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.